is this part where I'm supposed to be like quiet or something, or
Oppenheimer.
I think they're talking about us. No way.
I myself am strange and unusual.
This is Nerd Pride Radio!
Nerd alert!
These nerds are a threat to our way of life.
See, this is the stuff that brings nerds together.
So it's sort of social. Demented and sad, but social, right?
If I'm interested in it, then by definition, it is nerdy.
Are you in loser denial or something?
I'm a nerd, and I'm pretty proud of it.
My dad's a nerd.
And welcome to episode 192 of Nerd Pride Radio. 192, awesome number. Come on, it's 2 to the 6th power times 3. How do you not like that? Okay, wait, that's not nerdy enough for you? All right. By international convention, in IPv4, all private network addresses begin with 192. 192.168, to be more precise. Nerd. So,
that was actually a pretty good nerd fact. That one was all right.
See? I like that one. All right. Ask me how I'm doing today. Come on.
Ask me. How you doing?
I am awesome. My name is Mike Jones. I am a D&D/Pathfinder nerd, a history nerd, a sci-fi nerd, a comic book nerd, computer nerd, movie nerd, comedy nerd, science nerd, gaming nerd. I should have taken a breath before I started this sentence. Plus, there's like 7 other kinds of nerd that I only wish I was nerdy enough to be. You are listening to Nerd Pride Radio, the place I go every week to haver on about all the nerd stuff that just won't fit in my skull anymore. As always, you're listening to the best-smelling podcast on the internet. That's right, Nerd Pride smells exactly like Kraft macaroni cheese powder.
That's actually a
I'm telling you. And as you can tell, I've got my son Aiden here with me.
Hi.
And, in the background, that was Eli.
Yeah.
And Noah's over there playing video games. Say hi. See, they're all here. Well, all my important sons, you know, all the ones that want to participate, whatever, Jacob.
He doesn't even listen. You're not even talking to him.
Actually, he does listen. I think he'll hear this. It'll be funny.
All right.
So, guess what time it is? That's right. It's time for a little feedback. First, I got something from Eliahad, and Eliahad says, in reference to me talking about Secret Hitler and the skins for it last week, he says, I will admit I felt a little uncomfortable explaining Secret Hitler to other people as well. I think the game is amazing, but having a skin of it that something else would get more people in on an amazing game. Yeah, I agree. As much as, you know, Aiden here would like to be a purist about it, and I don't blame him. You know, he's
an idealistic
revolutionary young college-age kid. Yeah, I get
it. It's not even that. It's just that, it's just like, the skins for Munchkin are Monopoly.
No, and I get that. Look,
it feels really gimmicky. And
I don't like the skins for Monopoly. I don't like the skins for Munchkin. But see, that's because they're selling you a whole new game. Whereas with Secret Hitler, I feel like they're only selling me half a game just to add to the stuff I already have. And again, make it easier to talk about. I mean, I want to be a purist as well. But, it would get a lot more people willing to at least try it. I mean, do you remember how difficult it was to get Grandma and Grandpa and the rest of the family out at Christmas, Thanksgiving, whenever we were there? Remember how tough it was to get all of them to try it?
I wasn't in the room for that, so no.
Oh, my goodness. Because we're sitting around telling them that okay, the good guys are the liberals immediately.
Oh, yeah.
Immediately.
You know, they would have a problem with that.
They're like, oh, yeah, no, I get it. I get no, it's because that's historically, and then you have to have a whole lesson on.
Because the only other team is the fascists.
Right. So, anyway, I completely agree with you, Eli. Anyway, the next one.
Thank God.
Not you, the good Eli.
Me, okay.
The one who wants to be on my podcast.
Oh, yeah, right here.
So, the next one was from Kyle. And Kyle's response to last week's episode was, an Aiden episode with a Noah sighting? I'm in heaven. He loves it when you guys are on.
Yay.
Unlike all the rest of my listeners.
So, Jesus Christ.
I'm just kidding. He says, first of all, I thought you would know what the holographic projection theory was. You don't. Now, don't you look stupid? Stupid question. Fuck you guys. Those are his words, not mine. I apologize for the crudeness of my brother. But then he says, most importantly of all, tell Aiden that I'm with him on not heating foods and eating them directly out of the fridge or out of the can. The only exception is if it's a food that has something melty on it, like butter or cheese.
Right. I microwave pizza.
Right. See?
Frozen pizza's gross.
Well, yeah. Well, or even,
like refrigerated pizza. That's what I meant.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, I get you.
See? There you go. All right. But that's it. Now it's time for the meticulously plotted portion of this podcast. This is the time for me and my lovely sons. We talk about whatever's been on my mind for the last week. Something strikes me as interesting during the course of my busy, busy week. I add it to my master list, and then the very best stuff off of that list gets spewed out all over you guys every week when I record.
You lucky dogs.
Yeah, that's right. Straight into my master list. First up, we're going to do some gaming table.
I've got Master's Guide. I've got 12-sided die.
Role-playing games, video games, board games, card games, any games. If it fits on my gaming table, then I'm here to share it with you. Okay, we've been playing, after a long cold spell, we've been playing more Pathfinder than usual lately.
Not as long as most of our cold spells, though.
Oh, man. So,
can I just mention that one of our cold spells was so long, we just abandoned the game and made a new one.
Yeah, see, I think that happens to a lot of people. I really do.
Mm-hmm.
Although, yeah, it sucked. So,
I mean, I didn't know where the Blackscale Guild was going to go from where we were.
Well, and here's the issue I'm having. Sorry, guys. I had to stop and take a drink because I have Kona Blend. Oh, my God. Monster Java Kona Blend. Again, I know. I've already told you this back in stores.
You just jumped off topic.
But it keeps coming and going. And so after I found it in my local grocery store, they then sold out and they hadn't restocked yet. But then at the other grocery, there it was again. So
we are not sponsored by Monster, but Monster, if you'd like to sponsor us, we are open to the idea.
Yeah, no, that's right. That's right. Send me free product, and I will talk about it every episode, I swear. All right. And it can be almost anything you guys make, because, yeah, while I am the Monster Java fan, the rest of the males in the family...
Zero Ultra.
Yeah, see, exactly.
He likes low carb.
Right.
Noah is not old enough to drink Monster.
Yeah, he doesn't drink any Monster yet. So we just hop him up on Mountain Dew. Black Lightning. Mountain Dew. PepsiCo, you wanna send me stuff? Go ahead.
I would love to get some Pepsi products up in here.
Right. Crystal Pepsi, whatever.
Oh.
We're not picky.
Crystal Pepsi's gone now, though.
Oh, so sad. All right. Anyway, here's the deal. We've been playing some more Pathfinder, and what I'm discovering now is the same thing I discover every time we start playing Pathfinder, is I need to do more preparation before the sessions. I'm so used to when I was younger, we would just sit down and we'd just start playing.
Fly off the handle.
Yes.
Just right off the top of your head.
Right, and I would just rattle off stuff, and I think the problem is my Rise of the Rune Lords game that I'm in is kind of spoiling me for good story because DM Darks, I mean, how awesome is DM Darks?
So awesome.
So awesome. Pat is such a good game master, and Rise of the Rune Lords is so well written, and everything comes together, and it's just, it's deep, and it's involved, and it's really good. And so it leaves me, when I start winging it in our home campaign, then I feel like I'm just not providing enough. I feel like it's not deep enough, like the characters aren't well thought out enough, or... You know, I make up a character on the fly because I need...
Not well thought out?
Yeah, I mean... No, not your characters, my characters.
Oh, your characters.
Right, the non-player characters.
I mean, I think you're doing an all right,
right
job.
Well, because here's what I started doing, and here's my... Yeah, I'm turning this into a advice segment, is the way I'm going to do this, is... I'm thinking I'm looking at the right segment, and all I can see is Kyle's comment up above that says, stupid question, fuck you guys. I'm like, why did I write that? I can't. All right. Back to, see, I gotta look two paragraphs down. Here we go. So, in doing more prep, one thing that has really helped is this has been slowly evolving for me over the last several games that we've played, and now I keep a running document. Right now I'm doing it in Word, and eventually I'll transfer it to Google Docs because that way I can have it everywhere. But I have a running document of everything that happens in the game. And it's gotten to the point where
he's
now...
He's writing it like a journal is the weird part.
Right, right. I'm putting down, okay, session number, all right, what is the time in-game? So here it is, it's the 13th of Rova, it's a toil day, it's
are those
morning.
Actual, like, Pathfinder terms?
Yes, yes.
Nerd.
And I didn't figure out the year yet, but I'll get that. So anyway, I've actually gotten to the point where I'm just keeping the document open, and I just journal as we play. Like if they encounter anybody new, even if it's somebody that I'm pretty sure they're going to kill here in the next 30 seconds of play, if I've got a name, I write the name down, because otherwise, oh, who knows, they're going to survive, they're going to come back to be a recurring something, I'm not going to remember who they were. So I just jot down every single thing that happens as we go, and it turns out it's pretty easy to take notes on the fly, because also, when I pause to type in a couple of words, it gives me a second to think about what's going to happen next. And that's been working. And then I'm using that same journaling document in between sessions when an idea pops into my head, like using my master list. I've been jotting down those as well. And I mean, this is real minor basic stuff. But if it's stuff that I've come up with on the fly as we're playing, it tends to be shallow. It tends to be very tropey and stereotypical and it's the obvious ploy, because that's all I have time to think about while we're in the heat of combat or while they're pressuring me to, okay, well, we're at the docks. Who's there? Who are we talking to? Where are we going to? Okay. It's really hard to come up with something
we're
original.
We're used to your style of just, when you just, even during the Black Scale Guild game, you just come up with a name of like, Detwangi, Master Three Balls, just straight off.
I know. Well, okay. Master Three Balls I stole. That was,
did you?
Yes. It was like a thread on some gaming forum where they were talking about memorable names, and someone said it was a guy named Master Three Balls. It was a halfling named Master Three Balls, and nobody forgets that name. And so I love Master Three Balls.
Anyway, but it doesn't matter. You actually just had names of people, and now you're just... I don't know. I've noticed that you over-explain side characters that we'll never see again.
Right, because part of it is... I never know which ones you're going to see again, and I like to set something memorable about them as we bring them up, because, like the boat steward.
That gnome's going to come back.
Well, see, yeah, that's just the thing. The gnome, he dove overboard, and I know who he is, and I have a name for him, even though I never said the name out loud.
That gnome's going to come back.
All right? Or Black Anna could come back. You don't... I mean, she's not dead. She's just arrested.
That gnome's gonna take my.
You've got a number of people that you could have killed, in which case all of my work was for nothing. But now they're alive, and
that's what we did in the prison in the Black Scale.
Right, and they may or may not come back.
And in the Black Scale Guild, we burned down Wetfoot.
That's true. They're now the town where they're starting, where their new characters have grown up in the town of Wetfoot.
Well, them, not me.
Right, they're. Wetfoot is the rebuilt ruins from their last campaign when they burned down a whole city to make an escape. So, because they're awful that way. Awful.
I mean, we're called the Black Scale Guild.
But again, this game is coming off really well. I'm really happy with the way it's going now. Because all it takes is, I don't have to do a whole lot of planning, but I do have to do just a little bit, just enough to have some names and a twist and something, so I kind of know that here's where I think they're going to go in this session today, and if they do that correctly, here's a couple of things they might do afterwards. I don't have to go too deep in it. I have the overarching plot. I mean, I know what the next huge event is that they're going to meet up with, and I don't know how soon they're going to do that, but I know that that's coming. And now it's just a matter of, God, before I play, since I don't have a pre-planned adventure in front of me, God, at least just come up with a couple of interesting things. And it's been working out really well. I like to say, I think the journaling method so far is helping me. But again, I'm probably speaking, basics to people who've already done this a million times. But for me, I've been really liking this. So we're having a good time. Also, holy crap, if you're into giving Paizo money for creating Pathfinder, the codexes are the greatest books they have ever made. They have, I've got the NPC Codex and I've got the Monster Codex. I love these books because whatever type of encounter you're coming across, I mean, the NPC Codex especially is every major character class from the core book. They have a sample character of every level from 1 to 20. So whatever level of cleric you happen to need, and I needed a third level cleric, so for Black Anna. And so I just opened up the book to third level cleric, and I went, oh, scholar cleric, that's awesome. I can
she
do that.
She went down real easy for a third level cleric.
Right, well, because she's not combat focused. She was focused on scholarly research and magic.
And getting hit in the head with a heavy object.
Right, and so
man, what a weird spells, thing to study.
Her spells were focused around healing and escaping. And so that's what she was doing. And it worked out. It worked out really well. So, and then the Monster Codex is for a bunch of really common monster types. So goblins, bugbears, boggards. Oh, I love the boggards.
Fuck.
Don't use that kind of language. The Duergar. Hey, when you're a grown man, then you can... Oh, that's right. He's 19. All right. The Duergar, there's a bunch of these. The Drow, anyway, there's a whole bunch of different types of creatures in the Monster Codex, and it gives you clues about society and culture and how they're going to work together and some of the specialized characters that you might find within that monster race. And then it gives you samples of those characters at all sorts of different levels. And it's just, it's awesome. Like, I needed a couple of boggards. I had to have some frogmen to be our mercenaries from the swamp. And so I went in and I found a couple of boggards that were at the right level, and I got myself a bard and a barbarian, and off they went. And it was awesome. And like I say, the codexes are the greatest books ever. Again, I am not sponsored by Paizo. However,
Paizo, if you're listening, we would love for you to sponsor us.
Paizo, if you need somebody to send free product to because you're just overloaded with free product, I'm the guy. All right. Anyway, that's it for the gaming table. Other than that, look, we're looking forward to Gen Con, and my Laser Riders is going to be in the mail, which we signed up for Laser Riders while we're there because I didn't think I'd have it by then. But now that we have Laser Riders, maybe we don't even need to show up for the event. But maybe we do just to meet them and play with them. We'll see. So my son has his hand up. Yes, Aiden?
You keep saying that video games fit on your gaming table, but when was the last time you talked about one?
Let's see. Probably when I talked about Kingdom Rush. And before that, usually it's just the little handheld games, the app games on my phone, because those are the video games that I play. But every once in a long while, there's been something else. But
you and I should play ARMS and you should talk about it.
I know. We should really do that, but we won't. I mean, it would be awesome. Well, anyway,
I just want to watch old movies with you.
No, you'll watch old movies with me. All right. Hey, as long as he's bringing it up. So I mentioned it last week. The idea is to do a segment called, what's it called?
Well, that didn't hold up.
Well, that didn't hold up. And the idea is that I am going to pick out, well, we are going to pick out a movie from the 80s that I loved. And it may not always be the 80s, it may be the late 70s. But a movie from the 80s that I loved at the time, I thought was a great movie when I saw it. All right, and most of these that I'm going to pick out will be ones that I saw multiple times and I thought were awesome, awesome films forever. And now I'm thinking they might not hold up, and so I'm going to watch them with a 19-year-old kid who will make fun of me for anything that I liked about them.
I made fun of you relentlessly for Heathers.
Oh, yeah. See, Heathers would have been a great one for this because Heathers was the best movie when it came out. It was really – it was my favorite movie. It was it was so cool. I know. So,
I mean,
here's the thing.
People died.
We will decide by the end of this show what movie we're going to watch, and we'll maybe do it for next week's episode. So that way, before we end the Listener Betrayal today.
Revenge of the Nerds?
No. Revenge of the Nerds is not available anywhere except if I pay for it. So right now, it is.
Yeah?
It is. No. Because I also would like our listeners to be able to listen for free, or to watch the movie for free, and then join us if they want to. So by the end of this episode, before Listener Betrayal is done, I'll gather opinions because I asked the question in Listener Betrayal. I'll get some opinions, and we will make a final decision before the end of the show, and then that way any of you who want to watch it over the next week so that you can join us, and maybe we won't do it next week, maybe it'll be the one after, maybe you'll have a little time. But either way...
Also, if you have a listener in the area with a copy of Revenge of the Nerds.
Yeah, well, that's... right now, there are enough of them that are available, like Better Off Dead, which... Better Off Dead, I don't know what's going to happen with that one, but Better Off Dead's on YouTube, of all places, that you can watch it for free. But I think right now the top contender is Top Gun.
Ooh.
So there's also, well, it's Top Gun and Coming to America are tied with only 2 votes each. But But Coming to America...
Where's this vote going?
It's on my forums.
Oh, okay.
But the problem with Coming to America is I think Coming to America is still a good movie. I think it's very possible that that one may still be a good movie.
Isn't that the whole point of this segment, though?
No. As in, I think Coming to America, if you watch it, I don't want you to just go in and just make fun of a movie just because you think that's what the point of the segment is.
I want you to
watch it openly and honestly, like you did with Monster Trucks.
The point of this movie, the point of this segment, is for you to show me a movie, such as Heather's, that you thought is still a great movie, such as Heather's.
No, I suspect.
And show it to me. And then I look at you and go, this was a good movie?
Yeah. Heather's, I was pretty sure wasn't going to hold up because I'd already tried watching it. Because part of it is like Revenge of the Nerds. I would love to watch Revenge of the Nerds because, you know,
a real rapey movie.
Right. Though. It's all rapey and horrible. And to look back and go, God, why did you like this so much? What was it about this that was funny back in the 80s? That's the kind of thing that I want to explore. And so I think Top Gun is a really good one because, well, I'm not going to give away. You know enough about Top Gun to already have some opinions, but I think that would be a good one. Coming to America, we'll do like 3 or 4 episodes in.
You're jumping around some tolerance here. Are you avoiding the danger zone?
Oh, that's right. The danger zone. It's actually a highway to the danger zone. So
you took the access road around it.
Okay. Sorry about that. That we wrapped up the gaming table a while back, and now this intermission is over. And now
is it time for the meticulously potted portion of this podcast?
No, that was 2 paragraphs ago.
Oh.
It's time for the science corner.
You gotta really scroll better. We're all misreading here.
Ooh, she blinded me with science.
She blinded me with science.
Blinded me with science.
And that music means that if you don't walk away right now, you may be in danger of learning something.
That's very, very good. All right. The kilogram, it's losing mass. Were you aware of this?
Are kilograms getting smaller?
Well, here's the thing.
Is it because, I'm going to take a wild guess because I just know this offhand, is that block we use as the standard for the kilogram, is it losing mass?
Yes!
I'm so good!
And you know why it's losing mass?
Because that's what it does over time?
No. They chose
Someone dropped it?
They chose to make it out of platinum so that it wouldn't lose any mass. So it was supposed to be as permanent as humanly possible at the time. So why is it losing mass?
Because platinum actually decays?
No, we don't know.
What?
We don't know. It's getting smaller. So
does that mean that our measurements will change?
That's part of the problem. Yes, it actually kind of does. And there's been, they have the one, you know, hermetically preserved, who knows what they do with it, but it's this platinum block that weighs exactly 1 kilogram, and that is the standard for what a kilogram actually is. And they wind up having then some duplicates, like some I can't remember what they call them, but there's some duplicate versions that are like kind of a double check on everything.
Uh-huh.
And they wound up recalibrating stuff based on the original platinum block, and it was off. It was off by a little bit, and so people were recalibrating stuff, and it's a really expensive process when various industries now have to recalibrate what a kilogram is. And then it turns out that, oh, wait, no, our platinum block is wrong, but we didn't know it was the platinum block. We couldn't figure out why things weren't lining up, and so the National Institute of of standards and technology was getting sued by these companies because it was costing them a bunch of money. And finally we figured out that, hey, for some reason our platinum is losing mass and we don't know why. So here's the deal. And which I thought, the whole story to me is just fascinating. I don't know if you guys give a crap about, oh shoot, the word guys. I need to get back to that. Anyway, I don't know if anyone else cares about the platinum kilogram losing its mass, but I thought it was fascinating. And so what they've done now is they have found a way to measure the Planck constant to within 20 parts per billion. Jeez. Which is well under our standards of accuracy for weights and measures. And so, they measure the Planck constant with something called a kibble balance. Because apparently they put dog food on one side, and I don't know
why. And then they get quantum mechanics on the other.
I don't know why it's called a kibble balance. I probably could have looked that up. But the kibble balance is actually using electromagnetism to help balance a scale, and by measuring the exact amount of energy put into the electromagnetism, you can then they use it to measure the Planck constant, all right, which is fascinating to me already.
Two things. First, off the kibble system or whatever, did you know that the size of a uranium atom used in atomic bombs is called a barn?
No.
And 1/100th of that is called an outhouse?
Really?
Yeah.
That's pretty good. I like that.
And then two, did you know that the imperial system has a pound block?
No, I didn't. Sorry for the delay. I was drinking again. I have a drinking problem.
The imperial system also has a pound the same way that the metric has a kilogram.
Which I suppose they would have to. That would make sense. So, okay, here's the thing. Once you've measured the Planck constant to within 20 parts per billion, you can then use that measurement to calculate how much mass is in a kilogram. And thus, that's going to be our new standard. We are now
going to make something set that can't change.
Right. We're unhooking ourselves from the platinum block and actually going to a fundamental constant of nature for the kilogram, which is so exciting. Because we already did that with the meter a long time ago. The meter is now hooked to a particular wavelength of light that, who knows.
Do you know how they measure a second?
Ah.
Can you pause and just Google the length of a second?
Okay, hold on.
So, okay. The length of a second is based off the cesium atom.
Okay.
And on its outer ring of electrons, it only has one.
Okay.
And the line on which it sits, that one electron will bounce back and forth.
Okay.
And it takes 9,192,631,770 oscillations of that atom to equal exactly 1 second.
That's crazy.
How did we measure that?
I don't know, but I have no idea. How the hell do we measure the Planck constant with a kibble balance, apparently? So
turns out dog food was the secret.
Right. So, this would then be the Meow Mix metronome.
Oh.
That would be the...
Speaking of Meow Mix, cesium, the element used in Schrodinger's box.
Really?
Yep.
Man, good catch. That's really fascinating. See, so again, the second is measured by a constant of nature. The meter is measured by a constant of nature. Now, the kilogram...
should now be measured by a constant of nature.
Very similar, and now measured by a constant of nature. So
it's the weight of dirt.
So that's, yes, it is. It's the dirt molecule represented by the atomic symbol DE. So dirt.
And it's also measured on the meow scale.
All right. So anyway, they're changing up the kilogram, and that was to me very, very interesting. And so we've now shared. All right. Next up, I know what's next, but let me just double check. Yep, here it is.
Fingertips, fingertips, fingertips.
That's right, it's fingertips. Again, I know I just did some last week, but this is stuff that I just don't have developed out into a full segment, although I'll probably still ramble on by 20 extra minutes for each one, but we'll see. So anyway, the first thing on my fingertips list is Elon Musk. Elon Musk is a visionary and a genius. And I love the idea that Elon Musk talks about things that he's working on, and we all laugh, and the public in general goes, yeah, right, how are you going to make that happen? And then 10 years later, he's almost done. I mean, he does this stuff. He just makes things happen, and it's really amazing. He is a guy with a crap ton of money who wants to invest it in doing really cool science stuff that I love. You've got to love Elon Musk. And so I hear him in an interview. And this interview, he is talking about transportation tunnels underneath major cities to help relieve congestion. And these tunnels are very sci-fi Minority Report-ish. I mean, your vehicle drops down into one of these tunnels and you wind up, your vehicle slots into one of, he keeps referring to them as skates, and these skates are automated and carry you around to where you need to go, and then your vehicle pops back up above the street again and off you go. And he's talking about those. He's talking about, I mean, it was just so much different stuff. He was, you know, he went on about his solar roofing materials. He went on, I can't remember all the things that were there, but it's all this really, really fascinating stuff. And this is the first time I've ever heard Elon Musk actually speak. I mean, I've seen pictures of him, I've read articles, and I've read his words before. This is the first time I've heard him saying them out loud. And oh my God, could he be a more boring man? It is, I mean, everything was so monotone, and I mean, there was no pizzazz, there was no, I mean, his presentation was just it was just like, and so yeah, that's what I mean, we're gonna
do. Is he better or worse than listening to Stephen Hawking?
Now, you shut up. Stephen Hawking has a legitimate disease, a disability that he has
right,
no...
but a very monotone voice.
That's so true. I was just amazed that Elon Musk could possibly be that boring. Oh, my God. I mean, like I say, everything he's talking about, thank God there were interesting graphics to go with it to demonstrate the words, because otherwise I would have just fallen asleep. You would have thought he was talking about revolutionary accounting techniques and not, you know, like space age
shit.
Let me tell you about
infrastructure.
Right. Oh,
which he was actually talking about infrastructure.
It was so crazy. So that was Elon Musk. Okay. Now, here's the next one. I am at Boy Scout camp last week, a week and a half ago, whatever it was. And one night, as we are walking somewhere in a crowd, probably back from the parade grounds to go to supper or whatever it is, and I am following behind a dude who, and this is not uncommon, patriotic clothing, patriotic apparel is very, very common at a Boy Scout camp. It's very common in Nebraska in general, but patriotic clothing, I have no problem with that. I love my country. I support my country. I want only good things for this country of ours. But this guy's particular patriotic t-shirt, in huge letters on the back of his shirt, it says, "Respect this," and it's "Respect this" in giant letters, and there's a huge American flag next to it. So, "Respect this," referring to the flag, or "Expect this," and it's a boot. So, essentially, it is, "Respect my flag or I will kick your ass." That's the shirt. This is at Boy Scout camp. And it's not like it's open for interpretation. The shirt says, respect the American flag or I will kick your ass. That's what it says. Any thoughts on this? I mean, I don't want to monopolize this because I have lots of thoughts, but.
I don't quite agree with the statement because I enjoy my freedom of speech.
Right.
But growing up where I have, it's very commonplace.
It is really common.
So I don't agree with it, but I don't see anything out of the ordinary.
Right. And if I had seen it anywhere else, I would have just went, oh, yeah, okay, whatever, it's one of those, that's fine. But to see it at Boy Scout camp really, really bothered me. I mean, it really bothered me. Like, enough that I wanted to say something to the guy, even though what would that accomplish? I mean, really, there was no appropriate way to bring it up. But it very much, the idea is, dude, you're at Boy Scout camp. You're teaching Boy Scouts to be good citizens, And I understand that you think that this is a sentiment that all good citizens should believe. That's part of the problem, is he thinks he is teaching them to be good citizens, that that is a proper example. But honestly, respect my flag or I'll kick your ass, is that even then respect? I mean, honestly, are you, if you demand respect through threats of violence, does it even count?
It's America in a nutshell!
Right! Thank you! It was so disheartening.
Patriotic!
Oh, so disheartening. It was, I mean, again, is that honestly what you want to teach our scouts? Is that when someone doesn't agree with you, threaten to kick their ass until they comply?
I mean, that's what Trump's teaching.
And I get that. I get that, and yet, on no level is this appropriate. And I think, maybe it was a missed opportunity, because I think if I actually had sat down and actually talked to the guy and said, hey, that shirt, you know, I understand that, you know, you love this country. I love this country. I get that. But do we really want to be teaching our kids that they should beat up people they disagree with? Is that really something that we want to teach her? I think he probably would have been, I'm hoping, a little bit taken aback. I mean, I'm hoping he would be a little bit chagrined and go, yeah, but I mean, it's just a shirt. It's not, I know. But look at the example you're setting is that's what, you know, even if it's, you know, an over-exaggeration for your patriotic purposes, oh, I get that. And yet, you're literally telling these kids, if someone doesn't agree with you, you should kick their ass. Oh, God, that is American, isn't it?
Yeah.
Damn it, why do we have to be like that? It's so, anyway.
Whoa. Why does America have to be like that? Make it more general as not to directly include us.
Well, no, I'm feeling it now. I'm just saying.
Are you going to kick my ass?
Yeah, you know, seriously, you really need to toe the line, kid. That's all I'm saying. I'm not threatening anything. I'm just saying, maybe you don't want to test me.
You have never called me kid in your life.
it's all right, champ. We're good.
Oh, gross.
Sport.
Oh.
Ah, come on, Tiger. We can do this.
Tiger's better, but gross.
Yeah. So, anyway, that was it. I saw that shirt, and it set me off to a degree that I actually pulled out my phone and entered that onto my master list as I was still walking to supper, because that's how much it occupied me. So, yeah.
All right. So, can I ask you a question?
Yes.
What do Finland, Hawaii, and Prince Edward Island have in common?
Oh, well, that is a great question. I'm so glad you asked. Finland, Hawaii, and parts of Canada, including Prince Edward Island and parts of Quebec, as they say it, are all working on projects for universal basic income. And what this usually entails is that the government, instead of determining people's need and, you know, giving money and support and food stamps or whatever else, and giving all of these supports to people who are in need, instead of that, it is just universal basic income that we decide that, look, here's the minimum amount to just barely be above the poverty line or whatever number we set. And everybody gets that amount of money. Now, there's no...
Oh, so communism.
Sure. Whatever, if you want to label it that way. But it means... I mean, but is it that much different than what we're doing now with taking from the rich and giving to the poor, as Republicans want to view it, which is essentially what we're doing. We take from people who have more, we take from them in the form of taxes, and we give to people who have less, and they don't pay any taxes, but instead they get support from the government. Well, instead of that, this would technically be quote-unquote more fair, because everybody gets paid the same amount. Everybody gets paid whatever this basic living wage is, and they just get this money. And again, maybe it's a living wage, maybe it's, you know, whatever minimum we set, but basically everyone just gets paid a set amount of money, and that should be enough to take care of you, and then we just go from there. And the idea is that therefore there's no judgment on it, because everybody gets it, and there's no real paperwork, because nobody has to come in and prove that they, You know, you don't have to take a drug test for it. You don't have to prove what your income level is. You don't have to report a million things and you know, come by the office to file stuff every 2 months.
Yeah, but doesn't that mean that all these people are getting a free ride in life?
Exactly correct. And thus...
I don't actually believe the things I'm saying. I'm just playing devil's advocate for sake of conversation.
And all I know is that in the real basic experiments with this so far, there have been really positive outcomes. Like, here's the thing, is that once you start giving everyone this universal basic income in an area, okay, suddenly there's less crime because there's less need to steal anything. You have less healthcare issues and expenses because people can afford to go to the doctor and people are healthier. There's less crime, there's better education, there's better health outcomes, there's all this other stuff, so therefore... You don't have to spend as much money on law enforcement and prisons, and you don't have to spend as much money on health care, and you don't have to spend as much money because people are taking care of themselves. You have a healthier, happier population, and therefore all these other costs go down, and it's as if universal basic income kind of pays for itself. At least that's the way it seems to be panning out in some areas. But again, you know, these are, you know, when you do an experiment in, you know, part of Norway, well, Norway's pretty rich, well-off country anyway. How much are you going to learn from that? When you do, you know, one middle-class, relatively well-off town in Canada, you know, how much are you going to figure out? And the problem with it is when you run an experiment, you need to run this for, you know, a decade. And, well, administrations change. And so you come in with someone who is very progressive and wants to just test out universal basic income. Let's see if it actually works. And then the next administration gets in place and they're more conservative and they're like, why the hell are we experimenting with this freeloading bullshit? And then they tear the whole thing down and we never find out how it really works out. So, ultimately, we don't really know yet, but Hawaii is instituting universal basic income for the entire state of Hawaii. Holy crap. That's really big. Finland's playing with it. Canada's playing with it. Like, the idea is out there, and maybe in the end we'll find out that it's a failure. All right? Like, we've had all this evidence that raising the minimum wage doesn't really hurt inflation. It doesn't hurt employment. You know, we've had all this really good stuff, but then Seattle went all out, and I don't remember what their minimum wage was, if they started at $15 or where they set the number down. But, you know, Seattle's getting some feedback now that okay, now that we've done it on a larger scale, oh, yeah, that higher minimum wage is hurting them, that, you know, the total number of employment hours are down now, and there's other issues going on, and there's been some price increases. And so maybe just flat out raising the minimum wage is just – you can't just universally decide that that's okay. There's other conditions in it.
When you raise the minimum wage, they're just going to hire another person to do your job with you so they can pay you half as much of the higher price.
Well, and that's – and here – and this is the whole point.
So they're only giving –
Well, they cut back and they're like, okay, well, minimum wage jumps from $10 to $15. Well, so instead of hiring 6 part-time employees, we'll only hire 4 part-time employees. We're spending the same amount of money, and we're just going to expect more work out of these people.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of, it's, you know, the whole thing is very complicated. And while, again, most experiments with higher minimum wage have shown very positive results, well, Seattle's a counterexample that says, okay, maybe not in every case. So we still have, you know, the weight of evidence seems to be on the side of raising minimum wages generally pretty good, but now we've got a cautionary tale that says, all right, not everywhere, though. So let's figure out what makes the difference and how it works. Same thing with universal basic income. We've got all sorts of positive results from this so far, but again, let's get it on a larger scale and find out for sure. Let's actually run it long term and find out what the long term effects of it are. And even then, you know, see, Hawaii is a good example because Hawaii is a nice self-contained area. Whereas, you know, when it's just one town in the middle of a huge region that doesn't have universal basic income, that's going to be unbalanced as opposed to, well, yeah, but what if we do it for everybody? So, you know, let's find out what happens. I'm just very encouraged. I'm excited about it because it seems to be a step forward, and I really like it. And I really hope universal basic income is something that works out. But, you know, we got to find out. This is the way to do it. So very cool. Let's see. Last one. All right. Yeah, we'll do this one. One more fingertip, because this one's been on my list for a while, but it's a whole paragraph of stuff, so it's intimidating me because I can't remember all of it. Oh, the death tunnel in Tajikistan. Oh, man. This is amazing. All right. It's the Anzab Tunnel in Tajikistan. And this tunnel, what I had heard was this tunnel connects two portions of Tajikistan that previously, to get from one portion to the other, you had to drive through Kyrgyzstan to get from one portion of Tajikistan to the other. And instead of going through Kyrgyzstan, which was very, very dangerous, they built this tunnel, the Anzab Tunnel, to go underneath that little
bit. You know, if you want to sound interesting, you don't need to make up places.
I know. It's really funny. These are actually Klingon names that I took from Star Trek.
Okay.
So, all right, that's racist. I'm sorry. I feel bad now. But it turns out that when I finally looked up the tunnel, because I heard this whole thing, that the tunnel, because they were saying that, okay, rather than going through Kyrgyzstan, they wind up having to they go through this tunnel underneath. But the tunnel is like 5 miles long. It is, you know, only one lane in each direction. The only ventilation is one vent hole in the middle of it, which means the thing is filled with carbon monoxide and smog. And so, therefore, if you spend too long in the tunnel, you'll pass out and then eventually die. So, and people have reported that, yeah, they go through the tunnel, and by the time they get to the other end, quite often their fingers and toes are a little tingly, and you know, that's just normal. But, you know, as long as you keep moving, you're okay. Yeah, keep the air going, I guess. Whatever. But the thing is poorly maintained, so there's potholes, there's chunks that fall from the ceiling, there's warning signs at either end that tell you, hey, you know what, not responsible for any damage caused by falling chunks of ceiling. The thing is just, you can go watch videos on YouTube of Anzab Tunnel and watch people driving through it. And yeah, it is pitch black. There's no lighting on the inside, so you only get what your headlights are showing you. There's people dodging around debris, and it's just horrifying. It is this terrible, it's the death tunnel of Tajikistan. But what was interesting to me is when I went to go, I mean, all of that was interesting enough, but then as I was looking and I was trying to find out, you know, where is it that it actually ducks under a portion of Kyrgyzstan? And it doesn't. The whole thing is within Tajikistan. But then if you look nearby, it's only about, only a little ways away. It turns out that there's actually, little islands of Tajikistan inside Kyrgyzstan all over. It's weird. It's like literally you can see where they were drawing the border, and then some farmer or some family group or little village went, well, ho, but we're not Kurd. We're part of Tajikistan. We need to be part of Tajikistan. So they're like, okay, fine. So they draw a little circle around that property. And sometimes it's just as large as one farm. But they draw a little circle around that property and go, okay, you're part of Tajikistan, but then the rest of this is all Kyrgyzstan. And it's all the way around. And there's like a whole ton of little spots like this. And occasionally little islands of Kyrgyzstan are inside Tajikistan. And then to throw in with that, Uzbekistan has some of the same. I mean, like when you put Uzbekistan, Tajikistan, and Kyrgyzstan, yes, they're all made up names. Yes. The three of them, it's like this whole fractal interacting map as little dots of one are inside the other. And then in addition to that, Tajikistan is just screwed on its borders. I mean, just terrible. Tajikistan has a dotted line border with China. Go check Google Maps, and there's a dotted line between Tajikistan and China, because it's all disputed territory, which is only 10 miles away from a whole ton of dotted line borders connecting China, Pakistan, India, marking out the territories of Kashmir and Jammu, and...
Okay, one of those was just a fabric.
It was... He's on to me. So, actually, most of my listeners will recognize the disputed area of Kashmir. So, Kashmir. Anyway, close enough. So anyway, I thought it was fascinating. I started off with this. I heard just a report on some podcast where they were talking about this death tunnel of Tajikistan. And so I went to go look it up, and it turned out to be actually leading into stuff that was even way more interesting than the original report I heard. So, fascinating. But that's just me. All right. That's it for the meticulously plotted portion. Instead, it's now time for the pod-o-matic.
94.
Hold on, I have to do my hot dog. Hot dog! It's a 94. This is the Nerd Pride Radio Pod-O-Matic. At the end of every cast, I bring out R2 and his fully pimped out Pod-O-Matic bubble, or Aiden brings him out, whatever, and he rolls up random topics for us to talk about. And where these topics come from, you ask. I hear you asking. That's where you come in. You want to hear me haver on about something? Send your question or topic to me by email, or better yet, in a private message on my forums, and I will add it to my Pod-O-Matic list, because Pod-O-Matic is about whatever you want it to be. Good job with the hand gestures, Aiden. You're awesome today. And as my son said, it is a 94. And that 94 comes from, oh, it's from Kyle. And Kyle says, this is one of the new ones, by the way. I had been putting out the call several weeks in a row that Kyle is really dominating the questions here. And so I really needed other people to pitch in.
And so Kyle just sent you 300 questions?
So Kyle just sent me like another 20. So thank you guys for heeding the call, answering when I need you. You're here for me. So at least Kyle is, and that's all that matters. Kyle says, did you finish the Dark Tower books? Oh, no, I didn't. Kyle says, I read Gunslinger and then quit because I thought that was a good story and I didn't need more. All right, that seems...
I've read the first two.
Yeah, that seems weird. That you read the first one and decided you didn't need more. You must have heard something about them to come to that decision because, you know, if I read a really good book like The Gunslinger, and I did, and I loved The Gunslinger, I would have immediately thought, wow, that was awesome. I can't wait to see what the next book has.
The second book's pretty fucked up.
Yeah, watch your language. We don't talk like that. Only Kyle talks like that around here because he's a barbarian. All right? The second book, I dove right in, and I can't remember if I read all the way through the second book and started the third, or I quit either in the middle of the second book or the middle of the third book.
As if someone just dropped acid and tried writing a book.
It was, yeah, it suddenly, once it went from from Roland's world to ours, it weirded me out, and I wasn't thrilled with it. And so I wound up quitting. So, Kyle says, what did you think of what you read? Yo, I loved the first book, and then I thought the rest of it was a little too jarring, and it felt, he wrote a book with Peter Straub
I'm sorry, you're making up actual people names now?
Peter Straub was...
No, Straub is too weird to make up.
Yeah, the two of them wrote a book, and I can't remember the title of it, but it was about a kid who traveled back and forth between our world and some fantasy world, and this felt like...
Prince of Terabithia?
Oh, God, no. No. It was a...
Narnia?
No. No, Alice in Wonderland. That was the book. And so... The Peter Straub book, it was this kid would cross back and forth between the two worlds seemingly at random, so he never knew when he'd wind up in
Pan's Labyrinth?
And it was an all right book. I mean, I remember not being thrilled with it, but it was all right. And this feels like the
Labyrinth?
The much darker version of that. And as much as I love Roland and I love his world, the crossing back and forth to modern-day New York City just didn't work for me. And I wasn't thrilled. But now, having said that, when you saw Baby Driver, did you get the Gunslinger trailer before Baby Driver?
Because it's not a Gunslinger trailer; it's the Dark Tower.
Right. But okay.
How many awesome ways can we reload a revolver?
This is my point. I saw that it was going to be the Dark Tower, and I'm like, okay, it's the Dark Tower. I get it. And then, you know, it looks pretty cool, and it's probably going to be a pretty badass movie. But what sold me was the most badass ways to reload a revolver. That's all oh, my God.
Look up the trailer.
Roland is amazing, and again, I know they're stupid.
Name one of them!
They're stupid. The idea that all right, roll ahead 30 seconds if you don't want to hear this. I mean, it's not even really a spoiler because it's just a piece of the trailer, but all right, from here, 30 seconds forward, he throws 6 bullets in the air in perfect formation so that he can then slam his gun backwards into them and reload all 6 bullets at once. I know, stupid.
Actually, that one makes a little bit of sense because they actually make holders for your six guns.
Sure, sure, sure. And yet, it didn't matter. Pure badass, okay? And it was honestly, watching him reload his gun was what made me go, all right, I guess I have to watch that now. So, again, I don't know if the movie's any good, but I do want to see him reload. I think that was awesome. So, 52.
That's from Monster.
All right, good guess. Let's see. No, it's from Kyle. They're all from Kyle this week. And Kyle says, we can all agree that Doctor Strange was awesome, right? Yeah, absolutely. The next Marvel movie up to bat is Guardians 2.
It was fantastic.
Which we know is going to be amazing.
It was.
Is Marvel riding the ship? Is the weirdness of Guardians and Doctor Strange the key to success, even though they are still formulaic? Ah, man, that's a good question. And
a little dated, but great question.
I don't know. Because, yeah, Guardians 2 delivered, right? I mean, we've already had a discussion about this. So
first movie to ever make me cry.
Yeah. Guardians 2 delivered pretty well. And it was, you know, it was, hey, did you love Guardians? All right, well, here's more of that, and we're going to amp it up a little bit. So, you know, it wasn't anything revolutionary, but it was pretty awesome.
May I speak in about that?
Yeah, you can talk.
It is so cool with so many scenes.
I know. So much.
So many scenes just make me go, oh!
That was him the whole movie. That noise was really annoying the people in front of us. All right. Is that the key? I don't know if that's the key so much. But yes, I think Marvel is getting on the right track with these movies. Ragnarok. Ragnarok, the new Ragnarok movie, it's Planet Hulk, that is bizarre as crap.
Maybe it's not Planet Hulk, though.
Well, it has to, it's Thor on some distant planet battling the Hulk in a gladiator arena. It has to be Planet Hulk, or it has to be something similar to it. So,
is it Planet Hulk where we find out that there's a whole race of Hulk people?
No, but it's where Hulk is set up as a god emperor of sorts.
Oh, okay.
And if I'm wrong about that, someone go ahead and send me a correction. Because I never read Planet Hulk, I just read about Planet Hulk.
Where'd the different Hulks come from? Because I know there's more than one.
Jesus. Red Hulk was actually the general something-something.
I think he's the pure opposite.
So, there's Gray Hulk, there's... there's all sorts of different Hulks, and I don't know what the difference between all of them are. Some of them are different people, some of them are different versions of Bruce Banner. I have no idea. No idea whatsoever. It's, could be anything. So, but, yeah, Thor looks awesome, and now we're gonna take Avengers with the Infinity Gauntlet. We're gonna bring Avengers and Guardians together, so it'll be all sorts of space weirdness, which will be great. But yeah, I don't know, because I cannot wait for Captain Marvel. Oh, Captain Marvel with Brie Larson, of all people? Spectacular.
Also, Robert Downey Jr. is quitting Marvel after Infinity Wars.
Yes, which it's about time. He needs to. I mean,
go find another race car bed to sleep in.
That's right. So, that's good. So, look, and Captain Marvel will also, if done correctly, is also going to continue the space weirdness. So, I mean, honestly, turning this thing into this epic space opera fantasy thing, yeah, maybe that is the key to it, that it becomes not just these Earthbound heroes, but this whole almost Star Wars universe of stuff, and do it in a way that Green Lantern should have, but just didn't. Oh, man. That was a missed opportunity with the Ryan Reynolds Green Lantern movie, is that Green Lantern had so much opportunity to be everything that Guardians is doing, but could have done it in the DC universe. They could have had it right, but they didn't. So, anyway, I don't know for sure. I'm just looking forward to see how the ride goes, because this is looking great. So, anyway, there you go.
83
this one's from Monster. Let's see. It is from Monster! I called it. Alright. If you could have played any single character from the most recent round of Paranoia, how many troubleshooters. Which one would you have wanted to play? Okay. From the, whoa. I bumped something and the static went way up, but now it's fixed. Okay. From how many troubleshooters? All right, there was the werewolf, there was the, oh man, I can't remember all their names. There was Power, and there was, oh shoot. I think, honestly, oh man, any one of them. Any one of them. What was, oh, damn it. What was D-Rod's character's name? I really liked him. D-Rod's character, and I can't remember the name of the character now, because I'm too old. I draw blanks on too much stuff. But D-Rod's character was just straight up an asshole. His character was meant to be a complete and total asshole. He hated everybody and everything, and his mutant power was poisonous breath. Like, it was so cool. And he had some cool gadgets on him, and I just liked the style of that character. I mean, I would have jumped into the bones of any character in that game and had a good time. But I think he was my favorite. And he actually wound up not getting, because he was separated from the rest of the groups for so long, that he wound up getting he didn't get as much direct play as everybody else, which was a shame. But he wasn't in our game. I mean, he played it really well. He just didn't get right into the heart of the action most of the time. But I would have loved playing that character and seeing where it went with someone else behind the wheel, too. I would have loved doing that. He did it really well, and I would have liked that. So, yes?
Oh, no, I'm just being annoying.
Okay, so when Aiden's bored, he pokes me. All right, let's do one more, and we're done.
22.
All right, this question's for you, Aiden, so who's it from?
All right, it's from Kyle.
Man. Can't believe you. No, it's from Stan. All right. Stan says, there's all this talk about colonizing Mars, but Venus is. There should be a space.
No, Venusis. It's the new Pokemon.
But Venusis, probably more interesting chemically. So much so that it's conceivable that there would be a commercial reason to go there. Can you think of why we would colonize Venus? Just how hard would it be?
It would be extremely hard because the only way to do it is with a blimp. That they've conceptualized this blimp that can orbit Venus because you can't go on the surface because it's way too hot and everything's radioactive. So the only way to do it would be in this massive blimp that is just...
So it's like Taco Bell at 2 a.m. It's crunchy, cheesy, melty.
Yeah.
It's okay. So,
but yeah, no, it's just not fiscally possible.
Ah, except if we were going to colonize Venus, we wouldn't land on it. I think if we talked about it, and I'm putting it in air quotes here, if we were going to colonize Venus, I think it would be a matter of, again, figuring out how to live in habitats in space, do that right here around Earth first, and then once we figure out how to live in space, then we could use that exact same technology to live in space, but in orbit around Venus. We'd have platforms above Venus that can keep humans alive indefinitely. I mean, obviously we're going to have some resupplies and all this, but for the most part, build them big enough that they are self-contained and that they can recycle most of what they need. They can grow their own food. They can make their own air. And hopefully even once they're good at it, Venus has so much available on it that maybe whatever we're harvesting on Venus and sending back to Earth, we can be using that to help resupply ourselves when our recycling, because there's always going to be loss to heat and waste in some places. So that maybe, we can just be resupplying ourselves off of the atmosphere of Venus. And you would have humans living on platforms above Venus and, sending down orbital blimps to skim off the top of the atmosphere or, hang down probes or do deep dives to pull up more interesting chemicals from further down. I don't know, but I would love to see that kind of technology. That would be spectacular. That's a really good one. So no, we're 52. Done. God darn it. All right, 52 is from, it's from Kyle. I'm pretty sure it's from Kyle. I just saw it flash by. Oh, no, we already did it. It's from Kyle. Haha. 92. That 2 is stuck. Because that was 22, 52, and 92.
No, it's not.
This one's from Kyle. All right. And Kyle says, in True Detective, the character Rust Cole said, time is a flat circle. I shouldn't even try to do a McConaughey. Sorry. Time is a flat circle. I have no clue what this means, but please try your hardest to make it make sense.
All right. So you ever drew a circle on a piece of paper?
Yes.
It's a lot like that. It doesn't have any, it's just flat. It's a flat circle. I don't know.
All right.
How much more he needs.
Well, okay. Time. If you represent time, imagine a flat circle. Although, as Kyle points out, isn't it true that all circles are flat? Because otherwise they'd be spheres. Yeah, see, exactly.
Or cylinders.
Okay, or cylinders. Imagine time is a flat circle, like you've drawn out on a piece of paper, all right? And then, start from the top, all right? And let's just number out this circle. Start with your first gradation over will be 1, and then 2. And then you go all the way around until you've numbered it to 12, all right? And then you could put hands on it that could point to various numbers to tell you, I think the whole thing works out. I mean, I don't have all the math, really. I mean, I would need some paper and a good calculator, but I'm pretty sure I could make this work. 71 is... Oh, thank you for laughing. I was afraid that was going to fall flat. 71 is from Billy Bob. Billy Bob says, if you had to be a woman, what name would you choose for yourself?
Morgan.
Really?
Yep.
That is really good.
Morgan.
Wow. God, you came up with that so fast, too.
I've had that name for myself in my head forever.
Oh, jeez. All right. Well, look, right now, my favorite name for a female version of me is Dothan, but... that's hardly a traditional female name. So, although, you know what? I obviously wouldn't be a traditional female, right? Right? So, therefore, unique. I could just call myself Dothan. I can do that, right? I mean, this is in a hypothetical world where I'm a woman, so therefore...
Or in a world where you've gotten a sex change operation.
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying, is that I discovered a magical ring that turns me into a superhero, but only a female superhero. So, there's a kid's cartoon like that. The ring was destined to go to his sister, but he found it first, and once he put it on, now he transforms into a superhero, but he's a girl when he's a superhero. And it's a really cute cartoon.
I just imagine you finding the Sailor Moon staff, and then going through, like, the whole nude transformation.
All right, but
and it's just you built the same way you are
in
the tight Sailor Moon outfit.
In that one, though, I'm not actually a woman. I just like wearing that costume.
No. It's not that you like it. It's that you have to.
But I'm allowed to like it, right?
I mean, yeah.
All right.
But then you're a weirdo.
We're all good. That wraps it up. We're going to turn it over to GLaDOS, and she is going to give us a recap of this week's episode so far.
Remember when the platform was sliding into the fire pit and I said goodbye, and you were like,
no way.
And then I was all, we pretended we were going to murder you.
That was great.
This podcast is copyright 2017 by Nerd Pride Radio. The opening and closing theme is Death Metal Disco by Ian Kronk. My bumper music this week was Weezer's In the Garage. She Blinded Me with Science is performed by William Shatner. And, of course, Fingertips by They Might Be Giants.
Fingertips.
All the songs I use are available on iTunes. Check them out, buy them, enjoy them. I wouldn't put them in my podcast if I didn't love them. Don't forget, this podcast is a proud member of the Nerd Pride Network. Angry Geeks versus Me Like Trivia and Nerd Pride Radio itself. Quality nerd podcasting from quality nerd people. That's us. If you want to help out Nerd Pride, then subscribe to this podcast in iTunes or whatever podcatcher you use and write us a nice review. Give us 5 stars. That really actually makes a difference, but... if you really want to do something nice for this podcast, the very best thing you can do, seriously, recommend it to a friend, because if you're enjoying it, why wouldn't you go out and spread the word and let other people enjoy it as well? Word of mouth is my
bread and butter, people.
Remember, I'm always looking for you listeners to do my work for me. Don't forget to send me questions and topics for the Podomatic. Watch out every week on the forums and on Facebook for listener betrayal. If you have a really interesting nerd fact about an upcoming episode number, if you even want to send me a co-host to sponsor What Nerd Pride Smells Like, do that and save me all of that grueling research. Oh, it gets harder and harder every week, I'm telling you. My contact information, mike@nerdprideradio.com, @nerdprideradio on Twitter, facebook.com/nerdprideradio. But to be completely honest, the very best way to talk to me is come sign up for my forums at nerdprideradio.com/nerds. Sign up, send me a message. We'll hang out together, We will become best friends in the world.
We'll have...
We'll have fun.
My mouth was open!
Now it's time for listener betrayal. Before I start recording every podcast, I go out to my forums and I go out to Facebook and I say, hey guys, I'm recording anything that anybody posts there. I will read off at the end of the cast, which is what I'm doing right now. All right. So, first off, let's start off on my website at nerdpradradio.com/nerds. Holy cow. This is a long one.
I mean, that's because we did during the day.
Right. I know. We should do this more often. Post reply. And let me say done here. I noticed that Kyle's last comment is wondering why we've left it open so long. So how long
we had it open for like 2 hours last time.
Right. Well, how long did we leave it open this time? It's 3:30 now, and I opened this sucker up at 1:48. It hasn't even been 2 hours. All right. So, all right, let's see. So I started off by saying, seriously, what movie should Aiden and I break down next week? With only 6 votes in, I'm leaning towards Top Gun. Show your work. All right. So Kyle says, tuna. Packed in water, oil, or in vacuum-sealed pouch. Okay.
I'm a guy who isn't a hipster enough to define between the packings of tuna.
Oh, no, it makes a difference. It really makes a difference. Oh.
Does it?
Yes, tuna in water. In natural spring water is my favorite because it's just, I don't know, the oil just always feels so oily.
No way.
Oil just feels like it's going to be fattening. And so I prefer it packed in water because that's how we've traditionally done it. Although, recently I've tried the vacuum sealed pouches and where it's just tuna. And those are actually pretty good. I've had a couple of those at work so that you can just open that up and I've got tuna and some crackers and, you know, make a little snack out of it as opposed to having to drain off the water from the can. The vacuum sealed pouch is actually really convenient. I think I like the water better. But Aiden says I'm talking about nerdy, boring adult stuff, and I should just move on. The next one's from Kyle. Kyle says, each of you do your best impression of each other. Go ahead, Aiden. What's your best impression of your father?
All right, well, here I am. I'm going to talk to you guys and ramble on about nothing my sons care about, so they can't contribute at all. And I'm just going to keep talking for the next hour so that they can't get a word in edgewise and they won't have fun recording at all.
Well, wait a minute. That is... All right. Now, I can talk? Am I allowed to talk now? Huh? Can I talk, old man? Seriously? Because I need to ramble on about my Pokemon video game for the next 3 hours, so sit back.
And, done that.
And let me explain. No, it's all Pokemon to me. I'm just kidding. Let me. No. Seriously, let me explain to you the costume options of my new video game character because she's a really hot chick, and I can dress her up in any way I want.
You're talking in real life.
This is going to be. Yeah. Well, this is my best impression of you, right? Okay. I'm just saying. So, all right, let's move on. The next one's from Eliahead. And Eliahad says, Willow or Labyrinth. Didn't you watch Labyrinth with us?
Yes.
Okay, what'd you think of Labyrinth?
There was a lot of David Bowie package.
Yes, I know. That's what made it so awesome. Was there anything about it you didn't like?
There was a lot of David Bowie package.
Look, I don't think Labyrinth holds up. And Aiden hasn't watched Willow with us since he was very little. We did watch Willow with him and Jacob, but I think Aiden was very little at the time. Willow, I think, might not be a bad one because, man, you put exclamation points on these as if they're really exciting, but I'm telling you, I don't think either one of them holds up for a modern audience. This is, yeah, that's right. Let's talk about our experience watching Wham videos. So, Eli continues on and says, while these are both fiction tastes, not to mention CGI, have changed how we perceive these sorts of movies, so do they hold up today? Yeah, I don't think they will. I think those are both good ideas, and I'm going to pause just to go add them to the list right now. and done. I put them both on the list. Labyrinth is only available for rental, and Willow, for some reason, the website does not recognize that Willow is a movie. I don't get it. So, I mean, it did the same thing for Better Off Dead, too, which I eventually found, but didn't recognize it was a movie. All the others it finds, and it tells me where to stream them, but not those two. So, anyway, let's move on to the next one. Next one is from Eliahad. So, Mike, what are you going to do? Just kidding. Do you think we're going to be able to pull off all the things we want to do at Gen Con? Yes. Dude, we're already there. The only thing that we won't be able to do is we won't be able to actually record a podcast while we're at Gen Con. Oh, we'll mean well, and we'll try, and then we'll record one in the car on the way home. So, but I would like to record one while we're there. I'd like to have one with all of us together, because I think that would be super cool. And, oh man, I need to order a new microphone before then. I know I just ordered a new microphone, but my microphone's crap. I mean, it suffices. It does well here, but what I really need is a Blue Yeti. Blue Yeti for USB mics is very highly rated, and the standard Blue Yeti has an option for full surround input. I don't know what the term is, but there's different settings on it so that I can do it as a solo option, or I can set it for just interview mode so we can sit across the table from each other and both work off of it, or I can do surround and get everybody in the room, and that would be pretty awesome too. So I need to get a new mic, but it's like $100, so maybe I'll have it, maybe I won't, but it would be cool if I did. So anyway, other than that, yeah, we're going to get everything done because, you know what? I mean, I know we've got some stuff planned with concerts and we've got some gaming events and, you know, we need to walk the floor and do some shopping and hang out and all that. But I also think with just the number of games we've brought with us, hell, half the time, if we're just finding some tables or a patch of hallway carpet or something, and we're just sitting around playing games, half the time, just so we can share with each other all the cool stuff we've got, we're going to have an awesome time. It's going to be really, really good.
I want to do a patent magic.
Yeah.
I know,
yes.
I'll lose, but I want to try.
Yeah, Pat's going to kick your ass so bad, dude.
Hey, you could duel him, too.
You could, well, all right, fine. Then you can duel Andrew, and Andrew will kick your ass even worse.
Yes. So,
which is not to imply that I think Andrew is a better magic player than you, Pat. I just think Andrew is smarter than all of us. And somehow I equate smart with good at magic.
Well, I mean, but have either of them spent more than $100 on a single deck?
Oh, yeah. No. Pat has so many magic cards that he made up a whole bunch of different decks. And then he had a tournament where he dueled himself. And he did a single elimination tournament of his decks to find out which deck was the best.
No. So what I'm saying is, when I say you spent more than $100 on a deck, what I'm saying is they made a deck, and then they went online and bought specific cards to make that one deck complete bullshit.
I would imagine so, but I don't know.
Because Dylan has done that to a point where he can mill your deck in 7 rounds, and you're done.
Oh, well. Dylan sounds like a tool then.
Yeah, Dylan is a very big tool when it comes to magic. Okay. And that's my one fear when I play magic against anyone.
Eliahad finishes up this one with, there's going to be a metric crap ton, not to be confused with the imperial crap ton, which, by the way, is an actual cube of crap, which somehow has been shrinking. metric crap ton of people there. How do you think that's going to change things? Dude, I don't know. Did I tell you, Aiden? They're sold out?
Yeah.
Gen Con, for the first time ever, is sold out. You can't get a pass to get in anymore. If you didn't buy your pass already, you're out of luck. There's no getting in because they're full. I am amazed. It will be the largest Gen Con ever, which, you know, for the 50th anniversary, a nice round number. So no comment from Aiden. All right.
You already covered my bases.
Uh-huh. So anyway, how is it going to change things? I don't think too. I mean, I know it's going to be more people, but you know, we've got a decent hotel. It's not going to be that far to walk. Is the extra crowd going to be that much? I mean, you know, if it's 5% more people than last time, is that, how significant is that? I don't know. But either way, yes. There is going to be that metric crap ton of people there, but we also have a larger group. So We'll put on our leather nerd pride jackets, and we'll intimidate the other groups, and we'll kind of clear out a space for ourselves. The sea of people will part before us because that's how awesome we are. It'll be all right. We'll be good. Just bullying people out of their patches of carpet. Hey, that's our carpet. We're gaming there. Yeah, that's right. See, it'll be us. All right. Eliahead then posts up and says, Uncle Ilian still needs a 9th level prestige class ability for his entirely campaign-based prestige class. I think the rest of them are pretty much sorted out, but I need one that's really fitting for Uncle Ilian's progression through the game. Something that mirrors his own transformation through the game.
Well, hold on, whoa. Instead of being campaign-based, can it be champagne-based?
Oh, no. No, I don't know how much Ilian drinks. His suggestion, Eliad's own suggestion for the prestige class ability would be less stick up his ass. Would be a good example of a power that Uncle Ilian needs when he hits 9th level in his prestige class.
Right there, it's the feat. Less stick up your ass.
Yeah. I don't know. Well, because what he's done is it's going to be a prestige class with 9 levels. So starting from the next level we get, he's going to start taking this prestige class. And each level of it, he gets a special power based on another member of the group.
Oh.
So, and he's got 9 levels, and there's 8 of us in the group. So one of the levels is based on more of the group as a whole, and then the final level will be a power for himself. And I don't know. I actually think less stick up his ass is actually the right way to go. With Ilian here, because, I mean, you hit really well on powers that complement others in the group really well, and I think it's a brilliant idea. And I think the final one is the paragon of Ilianhood, as it were. When you look at other classes and prestige classes in Pathfinder, the final level is where you reach your ultimate form. You are the best version of whatever that is. So, you know, when I get to 20th level Bard, suddenly it is, I am the ultimate Bard, and I have the power over life and death with a mere song. And, it's pretty damn cool, actually. You know, the monk comes up with perfect body or whatever it's called at 20th level. This is essentially the Ilian prestige class. So 9th level has to be, what is the ultimate Ilian? What is it that defines you? And, I mean, is it sharp, sharp, stabby, stabby? Because if so, then, you know, your prestige class at that level is a heightening of whatever your most prominent ability is. It is making you the perfect stabby machine, if that's what you're going to be. But, you know, if you're looking at him, because I know Ilian's been at odds with his stabby personality lately, and he's feeling guilty about being, you know, essentially a murder hobo. And, you know, if you're wanting him to grow as a person, what would be the ultimate Ilian? What is, in your mind, what is Ilian striving towards by the end of this game? What is it that you think he should be becoming by the end? And it may—I don't know. I don't have a great answer, but it's along those lines. So, which I think you've already hit on that, but it's something like that, is what is the ultimate form of Ilian? So, there you go. Next one is from Kyle. Kyle says, y'all still recording? Seriously? You're still here? It's over. Go home. Hey, joke's on you. I am home. Yeah, that's right. My table, my house, my rules. All right, but now we're done with my website. Let's go on over to Facebook, and on Facebook, oh, man. There's more and more and more. Okay. So we're good here.
What you should do next time we record?
What?
Leave Listener Betrayal open for like 24 hours.
I've considered it. I've thought about leaving Listener Betrayal open the whole time we're at Gen Con, for example.
Oh.
Because, yeah, see, while we're recording.
A whole Listener Betrayal based episode of the cast?
Right. Something like that. So, yeah, leave it open for, you know, 24 hours or a weekend, and then when we record on the way home, it's nothing but answering Listener Betrayal until we're done. So, would you not ruin that pair of pants, please?
It already had the hole in it.
Yeah, I know, but please Stop ruining that pair of pants.
It's not anymore.
You're making it worse.
It's not any more ruined than it was before.
Just stop.
Don't touch my stick.
Stop. He has a stick rammed through the jeans. There's a hole in his pants, and he's just making it worse. Children. Just, you know what? When you start paying for your own clothes, then you can do whatever you want with them. But until then, young man, fine. All right, we're on Facebook. And here on Facebook, it starts. Okay, sorry. All right, on Facebook, we start off with commentary from Sarah Beth. And Sarah Beth says, trying to sneak by posting in an odd time here. So, caught you anyway. Oh, I got it. All right. So, trying to sneak by posting in an odd time there, Mike. Oh, yeah. Well, we just happen to have time in the afternoon. So, and it turns out we get better response this way. Caught you anyway. Little Miss Darks, a.k.a. Evangelina. Aw, Evangelina turns 7 tomorrow. Happy birthday, Evangeline. Did I say Evangelina earlier? I was misreading. All right, it's Evangeline. Happy birthday. I hope you are having an awesome day because you already have awesome parents. What more could you ask for? You don't even tell your parents, seriously, Evangeline, tell your parents that you don't even need any presents this time because everything's already too perfect. Tell them that. All right. What's your favorite birthday memory from your childhood? And then, in addition to that, what's the best party you threw for one of the boys?
Wait, you're supposed to throw parties for your birthday?
Oh, no, she's obviously kidding. It's a Jesus, you had to just blurt that out, didn't you? My favorite birthday memory from my childhood would be, you know what? I mean, I had lots of good birthdays. We had swim parties, and we had slumber parties, and we had all sorts of things. And it was, my birthday was always a fun time. I don't think I ever had a bad birthday, so therefore, you know, just picking out one. But I will tell you what, one year I asked for I wanted a cake, a birthday cake made with peanut butter frosting. And so my mom did up a cake with peanut butter frosting. And I don't even remember what was on the cake, except that whatever it was a critter that was furry, and there was a lot of this peanut butter frosting done up as fur on the cake. And it was the best damn cake ever. Oh, man, did I love that cake. It was really awesome. So, I mean, I don't know if that's my best birthday memory ever, but, man, I love that. And I think I was 12 at the time, something like that. That was a really good one. What's the best party or birthday experience we've ever had for you guys?
See, right there, she said it again.
What? Party?
Yeah. You're supposed to throw parties for your birthday?
Seriously, what's the best birthday experience you have ever had? I mean, off the top of my head,
the day you didn't make me work in the mines.
We have, for all of our boys at one time or another, done like an overnighter where we go to a hotel and we all go swimming and we play games and we party. That's always fun. And I think, you know, not to pick favorites, but I think my favorite, because I'm gonna pick favorites, was a year and a half ago for Eli's birthday when we played a game of Mostly Dead because he said he wanted to play a modern day zombie game based on Pathfinder. And so we did, and if you want to roll back to somewhere in 2016, so May or June of 2016, you'll have a whole episode about it. And we played one of the greatest games ever, and we introduced kids to role-playing who had never done it before, and it was a rousing success all the way around, and we had an awesome, awesome time. I mean, that was so much fun for me. I know Eli really enjoyed it as well. But for me in particular, that was my favorite experience. So there you go. You got one?
No.
Okay. Yeah. We did that for the other boys, not for Aiden. So anyway.
You did it for me.
I'm kidding.
I remember everyone being really pissed because I figured out how to spam Rock Lee's ultimate in Naruto Clash of Ninja 2.
See how dead on was my impression of Aiden now, huh? Did you hear that? That was great.
I spent literally 30 seconds explaining one memory based on the topic.
I would love to dwell on this with you, but Nelly's got a comment. Nelly says, "Please talk about what the F is going on with Hobby Lobby. I cannot compute."
They got an Indiana Jones-esque character to work for them, and based on his findings, they mislabeled something, and now they're in trouble.
Yeah, I don't know the. I don't know what's going on. I understand that they have
ancient tablets,
yeah, historical artifacts from Iraq that were shipped in and were just labeled as tiles. I mean, they were just labeled as regular building materials instead of, you know, important ancient historical artifacts. So they were mislabeled, and it's wildly illegal. And apparently, the head of Hobby Lobby was aware of what was going on when it happened, and this is just—it was flat out fraud, deception, illegal. I mean, it was breaking a bunch of laws, and that's all I know. And why? When I first heard it, my first thought is, no, have you never been in a Hobby Lobby? It's all fake. It wasn't real. Seriously, it's honestly, Hobby Lobby is just I don't know how often you've ever been in a Hobby Lobby, but it's really just fake art. It's stuff that is cheap, mass-produced pieces of junk that are made to look relatively classy. And, you know, you're supposed to feel fancy putting them in your home as part of your decor, and yet it's all cheap. And I've had some things from Hobby Lobby that aren't bad, but yeah, in general, it's mostly just mass-produced stuff. And so the idea that they actually had real ancient artifacts and were actually smuggling them into the country illegally, that just, I don't even understand why. I'm with you. I'm lost. Those are all the details I have, and 30% of those are probably wrong, so I really don't know what's happening. So, next up is Nelly, and Nelly says, also, Gen Con attendance capped for the first time ever. What? Yeah, I know. I know, is that
we
not
We just
unreal?
Talked about that.
And I honestly, I think it's Derek's fault. Obviously, he's made the con too good. So, why are you laughing? I'm giving credit where credit is due here.
Yeah, blame Derek for all this.
That's right. It's Derek's fault that they are too wildly successful. He should be ashamed of himself. How dare he take away this experience from the common man who just wanted a day pass on his way in. I can't believe he's ruined it for everybody.
Can we talk about the pictures we found of, like, the very first Gen Con?
Oh, man. Yeah, first Gen Con was amazing. And as we're looking at them, was it you that went, wait, Geneva Convention? That's what it stands for?
Yeah.
Yeah, see, it was a joke at the time, and it's still, that's what it stands for, Geneva Convention. So, yeah, the first Gen Con, go back and look for pictures of the first Gen Con, and it's just, I mean, you know, it's nine nerds sitting around in a room together. I mean, it might as well just be game night. But hey, they started something fantastic. I mean, look at what it's become now. It is this huge, multi-platform, pop culture media extravaganza thing centered around board games and gaming. I couldn't be happier. I love Gen Con, obviously. So this is going to be a good time. It's going to be a good time for those of us who were smart enough to get in early. All the rest of you who didn't get in on the pre-sales, yeah, there's nothing but pre-sales this year. Except, hold on. Let me go out to the Murat Theater, which is, I assume, where...
The Murat Theater?
Murat. M-U-R-A-T. The Murat Theater is where... they had Concert Against Humanity the last 2 years, the only 2 years that they've had Concert Against Humanity. And so I keep refreshing every day. I just keep a tab open for it, and I just refresh every day to see if they've entered. Nope, there's still nothing for Gen Con. So whenever the Concert Against Humanity tickets are available, I will be buying them for everybody.
If they ever happen. Maybe but they're not doing it this year.
They're doing it this year. Of course they're doing it this year. How dare you? So, unless, of course, they're not having it at the Murat Theater, which would be... Although, I'm here at Live Nation. So I can also see Live Nation ticket sales. I can refresh the Murat Theater. Nothing. I refresh the Concert Against Humanity. Upcoming shows. Still nothing. So, there's nothing. But, yeah, the minute they're available, I'm buying 7. So we'll be ready. All right. I think that's all we got. Got anything else, man?
Yeah.
We're all wrapped up. So I appreciate you guys coming by. Love every one of you. This has been an awesome podcast. And, I told you I would decide by the end of the podcast. We are going to, I think we are going to do Top Gun.
Woo!
I'm just going to announce it now because, hold on, let me go check the, here it is. what movie should Aiden and Mike watch? And there's a whole poll for it. And right now, three. Yep, we got three for Top Gun and two for American Werewolf in London. That was the one. And then one for Better Off Dead, one for Coming to America. So Top Gun has won for now. I mean, obviously we'll get more votes in, but you know what? It's too late. We're closing it down. We will be watching Top Gun for either the podcast next week or the week after. Hopefully next week. Depends on what Aiden works. But we will be watching Top Gun and seeing if it holds up, and I'm betting it doesn't. So join us. All right, now I can say goodbye. Say goodbye, R2. Say goodbye, Noah.
Bye!
Say goodbye, Eli. You got anything?
Goodbye!
We'll see you next week.